Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is wonderful Wednesday, November 28th, 2012. It is a great day to be alive. It is a great day to be on this call with each of you, opening our minds, opening our hearts, seeking, folks, seeking. That's what we do on this call. We come together as entrepreneurs scattered across the globe to seek new insight, to seek new wisdom. Into what? Primarily into the minds of how wealthy people think. We want to learn how to think and grow rich. So we're looking for how, we're looking for ideas, we're looking for stories, we're looking for attitudes, we're looking for beliefs of the wealthy so that we can grab those, adopt them ourselves, and then go forth in our lives and think like wealthy people think, do what wealthy people do, so we can have more wealth in our lives. That's the primary purpose. But what also happens as we do this, as many of us are noticing, is as we start to think, as we start to use our minds, as we start to process ideas, not only can more financial success come to us, but also success in the area of health, success in the area of relationships. A richness of life can come to us as we do this, folks. And that is why I am so passionate about this call. And I've got to share some great, I'll tell you, we've got some really, really powerful things to talk about today. So I hope you've come, you know, ready to be well-fed and have a great discussion at the latter portion of this call where we discuss the ideas that are going to be shared. But I got to share a quote with you from a song I was listening to this morning in the gym. And the quote is, "This one's for you and me, living out our dreams. We are right where we should be." Folks, you are right where you should be, and if you're living out your dream, which you probably are, if you're on this call, that's a great indication that you have refused to accept defeat. You have refused to be punched in the gut and fall on the ground and lay there. You've gotten back up. You're still fighting. You've got a dream, my friends. This one's for you and me. This call today, that's why we're here. We're here to keep the dream alive. We're here to keep people moving. So this one is for you and me, living out our dreams. We are right where we should be on the Think and Grow Rich call. And, you know, that's a little piece of a rap song. And it's funny, occasionally I will listen to some rap music. I'll tell you, there's something about some of the songs. Now, I can't say I listen to all of it, but there are some songs that just do something to me. They get me fired up. There's just this spirit in them that just makes me want to, you know, keep moving forward and keep pushing forth in my life. And sometimes people laugh at me. John Chapman, you know, he called me, he came up with a word for me. He called me, you know, kind of in humor, he called me white chocolate. Because some people think it's kind of funny that occasionally I'll come out and, you know, bust a rhyme. But I'll tell you what, music can be very powerful in our lives. And when we get on this call and we learn how to think and we learn the power of auto-suggestion and we learn how words and music can impact us. You know, Dr. Napoleon Hill talks about music as being one of the 10 forms of mind stimulation that will lift your mind to a higher plane of thought. So music can hurt you. It can also help you tremendously. And when you start to understand the power of this stuff, you start to look for ways that music can help you. And I just shared one. Listen to a song that gets you moving, that gets you fired up, that has a spirit of fighting on and persistence and conquering and overcoming. Listen to that stuff. You know, I was so excited the other day. I figured out how to put a ringtone on my iPhone. And I'll tell you, the song that I put on there, I put a little piece of a song that said, when my phone starts ringing, it says, fire away, you shoot me down, but I won't fall. I am titanium. Think about that. I am titanium. You shoot me down, but I won't fall. Why would I put a ringtone like that on my phone? Because I understand that there are obstacles in life. I understand that sometimes things are going to get tough, but I also understand my attitude, the way that I face that stuff means everything. And I like to look at myself as being titanium, as I plow through temporary setbacks, as I plow through the naysayers, as I plow through negative feedback that comes at me from different portions of my life. I am titanium. I plow through that stuff. So those are a couple of things that you can, you know, pay attention to, or at least one thing I should say. When you're listening to music, listen to music that empowers you and pay attention to the words that are coming through the headphones or the speakers because it can work both ways. It can disempower you. It can also empower you. So pay attention to that music that you're listening to. Yesterday, gotta tell you a few experiences I had yesterday. You know, as many of you know, I wasn't on the call. Thanks so much to Doc Fan for doing that call. I had a funeral to go to yesterday down in Salt Lake City. So as I'm driving down to this funeral, I had to get ready in the morning to be there on time. So that's why I missed the live call. But as I'm driving down to Salt Lake, I'm listening to the replay. And so I dial in, I'm listening to the replay, and the first thing I hear is Doc Fran getting the recording going right and getting the lines muted. And my first thought was, oh, fantastic, you know, you got the lines working right. So I was really excited about that. And then I listened to Doc Fran talk about, you know, a little bit how I sometimes come on the line and I have stories to share with everyone from my life, from my children. And he talked about how children teach us some of the greatest lessons. And you know what was so fascinating as I listened to that is I realized that that very morning I had an extremely powerful lesson with my six-year-old son. And so I want to share that with each of you as we start today, because this is really powerful. My six-year-old son, his name is Caden, and I take him to school every morning, and I love the school that he goes to, because as you walk in the door, there are three quotes on the various arches of the ceiling as you're walking down the hall. One of them is a quote by Dr. Seuss that says something to the effect that the more you read, the more you'll know, the more you learn, the more places you'll go. So we've spent some time talking about that. Another one is the Henry Ford quote, if you think you can, you're right. And then another one that we just noticed about a week ago is, if you can dream it, you can achieve it. And so the other day I said to Caden, I said, hey, Caden, there's another quote up there. And he said, really? You know, we never noticed it before. I said, yeah, when you go to school today, pay attention and see if you can find it and come home and tell me what it is. So Caden comes home and he tells me what it is. And he says, if you can dream it, you can achieve it. And I said, great job, son. That's fantastic. Well, yesterday morning as I'm taking him to school, we start talking about this quote, and he says, if you can dream it, you can achieve it. And he says, yeah, but Dad, that's not necessarily true all the time. I said, really? You know, what's not true about that? And he says, well, some things you can't do. And I said, oh, really? Like what, Caden? What are some things that you can't do? And then he mentions flying. He says, well, you know, sometimes, you know, people can't fly. If I wanted to fly, I couldn't fly. And I said, that's interesting, Caden. Do you remember the story about a couple of young wanted to fly, and everyone said that they couldn't do it, but they believed that they could, and then he gets this big smile on his face as he remembers Orville and Wilbur Wright, because we've talked about that story in my family. We've talked about that story. So he remembered. He said, oh, yeah. He said, yeah. He says, so you can build a machine. He goes, well, you can't. He goes, yeah, but Dad, you can't fly without a plane. And I said, really? That's interesting. I said, Caden, there's a guy right now, and when we go home today, we'll look him up on YouTube, who can actually fly without an airplane. And he gets these eyes, they're real big, and he's like, really? I said, yeah. I said, and he goes, how does he do it, Dad? I said, well, he's built these wings, you know, that strap onto his body, this suit, and he'll jump off these mountains and just fly all the way down them. And he's just like, wow. And so I was talking with my son yesterday, and he is opening his mind and realizing that most of the limitations that we set up for ourselves are within our very own minds. And you see it from that story. You see about my son thinking about, well, you can't fly. And then we remember Orville and Wilbur Wright. Yes, you can. And then his next limitation is, well, you have to have a plane to fly. And then we talk about this dude on YouTube, which any of you can look him up. I can't remember his name. It's just fascinating what he does. And so then he realizes that next limitation was set up in his own mind. What a powerful experience that I had with my six-year-old. And folks, that's what we do. We set up these limitations in our mind that are only in our mind. Why do we say business has to be hard? Why do we say it has to be difficult? Why do we say that, you know, getting your financial freedom is, you know, you got to struggle and struggle and struggle? Why don't we say it's simple? Why don't we say it's easy? Well, that's in our mind. These are limitations that we set up within our mind. Now, I've got to share a couple other things with you that are on my mind and on my heart that came from my day yesterday. As I mentioned earlier, yesterday I went to a funeral. My uncle Jerry, he passed away at the age of 76, and I drove down to attend his funeral. And I'll tell you right off the bat, whenever you have a chance to go to a funeral, I recommend that you do it, you know, for a number of reasons. Number one, for me, having experiences where in my life where I faced death and I realized that, you know, people do die and they leave this earth, it reminds me, every time I go through an experience like that, it reminds me of how precious life is. And that is something that we need so many more reminders of. We need to treasure each moment. We need to realize that if we're on this earth, if we're breathing, if we're enjoying the richness of life, those are moments we need to treasure because they won't always be here, as evidenced by death. And funerals can help remind you of that. The other thing that I really appreciate about funerals is you have a chance to go and listen to, in most cases, what is the best of a person's life, of the lessons that they've learned, of the magical moments they had in their life, and you really have an opportunity to learn. And how many people take advantage of this? You know, in preface this, I got to share with you just a little story. I remember listening to Jim Rohn, and Jim Rohn was talking about how one time he went to this church in, I think it was Southern California, and he was talking about how he went and sat in the pews of this church, and the preacher that day was preaching a sermon that was so brilliant, so on target, so precise, so impactful that he just couldn't believe it. And he pulled out his journal and he had his pen and he's sitting there writing, you know, as fast as he can, taking down all these nuggets of truth that are coming down from the pew. And he says, guess how many people were writing the words that were coming from that preacher's mouth? And he looked up and he looked around. There was nobody taking this stuff down other than Jim. He's sitting there, you know, writing this stuff down. And he said, that's fascinating. I'm the only one getting this stuff. And then he said that people started to look at him, you know, and they were looking at him. They're like, what's this guy doing? You know, he's over here writing furiously, taking this stuff down. And he says, you know, these people are thinking he's going to get away with some of this stuff. And then Jim says, and I did. I got away with it. I walked out of there with that brilliant truth, right? So yesterday I'm in this funeral and I think about Jim. Why do I think about Jim? Because here I am in the back of this church, sitting at this funeral. I'm the only one, as far as I can tell, in the whole audience who has my notebook out and my pen down, jotting down these golden nuggets that are coming from the people who are sharing experiences about my Uncle Jerry. The only one. Isn't that fascinating? They hear all these wonderful things are coming out, and I'm the only one writing them down. I challenge you to be one of those people, my friend, that gets out there in life and looks for these lessons. So, you know, while we're on the top of this funeral, I wanted to share a couple of things that I wrote down that to me are so precious, okay? One of the things I wrote down is, you know, my Uncle Jerry, as a kid, he was shuffled around from foster family to foster family, and he, you know, him and his brother were given away by his parents because they couldn't take care of him, so he kind of had a rough life. When he was starting out, anyway, when he was 11 years old, this is what they said. They said he made a decision to one day have a family and never leave them. At 11 years old, he made a decision to have a family and never leave them. So at 11 years old, what did he do? He set up a major definite purpose for his life at 11 years old. And do you know what I heard throughout that funeral yesterday? I heard each of his children stand up one by one and talk about the precious moments they had with their father, where he was there for them, where he taught them, where he instructed them. I heard his son Rob get up, you know, at the microphone, talking about when he was going through college and how it was tough. And there was one point in college where, you know, he didn't think he could do it. And Rob mentioned the reason he didn't think he could do it is because he didn't think he was the smartest. He didn't think he was smart enough to get through college. And he talked about how his dad, Jerry, said to him, you know, he took him aside and he said, Mark, or Rob, he said, college is not about being the smartest. It's about persistence and perseverance. Well, you know what Rob did with those words that his dad, Jerry, gave him? Because Jerry, at 11 years old, made a decision that he was going to have a family and never leave them because he set up that major definite purpose in his life. You know what those words did for Rob at that point? They caused him to keep going, and he got through college. It took him 8 years, but he got through college, And right now, he's an executive vice president of a very successful insurance firm in Chicago. Okay, the power of words. You know, his dad sharing that with him, talking about persistence and perseverance. Isn't that so powerful? You know, I'm looking over my notes here. See if there's anything else here I want to share with you. One other thing. You know, one of the things that my Uncle Jerry did is he wrote a autobiography. So, you know, here we're at his funeral, and we had the opportunity to hear his own words about his life. And one of the things that he shared was that the thing that made him most happy in his life was his home and his family. The thing that made him most happy in his life was his home and his family. Can we take a lesson from that? You know, can we take a lesson from that? Can we take a lesson and understand that we need to treasure those moments that we have with our loved ones, with our relatives? I mean, for me, that's powerful. That's so powerful. I hope that it's you know, very powerful for you. So I wanted to, as we're, you know, coming on the call and looking for inspiration and looking for wisdom, hope those have been beneficial to you. Now what we want to do is jump into our scheduled regimen of information that we go through on a daily basis to jump into the minds of the wealthy, learn how they think. And right now we're going through The Science of Getting Rich, and we're going to go through Chapter 12, which is entitled Efficient Action. Then we're going to open up the lines for a mastermind discussion, and I'm so excited for that. So here we go, Chapter 12, Efficient Action. You must use your thought as directed in previous chapters and begin to do what you can do where you are, and you must do all that you can do where you are. You can advance only by being larger than your present place, and no one is larger than his present place who leaves undone any of the work pertaining to that place. The world is advanced only by those who more than fill their present places. If no one quite filled his present place, you can see that there must be a going backward in everything. Those who do not quite fill their present places are dead weight upon society, government, commerce, and industry. They must be carried along by others at a great expense. The progress of the world is slowed only by those who do not fill the places they are holding. They belong to a former age, and their tendency is toward degeneration. No society could advance if everyone was smaller than his place. Social evolution is guided by the law of physical and mental evolution. In the animal world, evolution is caused by excess of life. When an organism has more life than can be expressed in the functions of its own plane, it develops the organs of a higher plane, and a new species is originated. There never would have been new species had there not been organisms which more than filled their places. The law is exactly the same for you. Your getting rich depends upon your applying this principle to your own affairs. Every day is either a successful day or a day of failure, and it is the successful days which get you what you want. If every day is a day of failure, you can never get rich, while if every day is a success, you cannot fail to get rich. If there is something that may be done today and you do not do it, you have failed insofar as that thing is concerned, and the consequences may be more disastrous than you imagine. You cannot foresee the results of even the most trivial act. You do not know the workings of all the forces that have been set moving in your behalf. Much may be depending upon your doing some simple act, and it may be the very thing which is to open the door of opportunity to very great possibilities. You can never know all the combinations which supreme intelligence is making for you in the world of things and of human affairs. Your neglect or failure to do some small thing may cause a long delay in getting what you want. Do every day all that can be done that day. There is, however, a limitation or qualification of the above that you must take into account. You are not to overwork, nor to rush blindly into your business in the effort to do the greatest possible number of things in the shortest possible time. You are not to try to do tomorrow's work today, nor to do a week's work in a day. It is really not the number of things you do, but the efficiency of each separate action that counts. Every act is in itself either a success or a failure. Every act is in itself either effective and efficient or ineffective and inefficient. Every inefficient act is a failure. And if you spend your life in doing inefficient acts, your whole life will be a failure. The more things you do, the worse for you, if all your acts are inefficient ones. On the other hand, every efficient act is a success in itself. And if every act of your life is an efficient one, your whole life must be a success. The cause of failure is doing too many things in an inefficient manner and not doing enough things in an efficient manner. You will see that it is a self-evident proposition that if you do not do any inefficient acts and if you do a sufficient number of efficient acts, you will become rich. If now it is possible for you to make each act an efficient one, you see again that the getting of riches is reduced to an exact science, like mathematics. The matter turns then on the question of whether you can make each separate act a success in itself. And this you can certainly do. You can make each act a success because all power is working with you and all power cannot fail. Power is at your service. And to make each act efficient, you have only to put power into it. Every action is either strong or weak, and when every action is strong, you are acting in a certain way which will make you rich. Every act can be made strong and efficient by holding your vision while you are doing it and putting the whole power of your faith and purpose into it. It is at this point that the people who separate mental power from personal action fail. They use the power of mind in one place and at one time, and they act in another way in another place and at another time. So their acts are not successful in themselves. Too many of them are inefficient. But if all power goes into every act, no matter how commonplace, every act will be a success in itself. And since it is the nature of things that every success opens the way to other successes, your progress toward what you want and the progress of what you want toward you will become increasingly rapid. Remember that successful action is cumulative in its results. Since the desire for more life is inherent in all things, when a person begins to move toward larger life, more things attach themselves to him, and the influence of his desire is multiplied. Do every day all that you can do that day, and do each act in an efficient manner. In saying that you must hold your vision while you are doing each act, however trivial or commonplace, I do not mean to say that it is necessary at all times to see the vision distinctly to its smallest details. It should be the work of your leisure hours to use your imagination on the details of your vision and to contemplate them until they are firmly fixed upon memory. If you wish speedy results, spend practically all your spare time in this practice. By continuous contemplation, you will get the picture of what you want, even to the smallest details. So firmly fixed upon your mind and so completely transferred to the mind of formless substance that in your working hours you need only to mentally refer to the picture to stimulate your faith and purpose and cause your best effort to be put forth. Contemplate your picture in your leisure hours until your consciousness is so full of it that you can grasp it instantly. You will become so enthused with its bright promises that the mere thought of it will call forth the strongest energies of your whole being. Let us again repeat our syllabus and by slightly changing the closing statements, bring it to the point we have now reached. There is a thinking stuff from which all things are made, and which, in its original state, permeates, penetrates, and fills the interspaces of the universe. A thought in this substance produces the thing that is imaged by the thought. A person can form things in his thought, and by impressing his thought upon formless substance, can cause the thing he thinks about to be created. In order to do this, a person must pass from the competitive to the creative mind. He must form a clear mental picture of the things he wants and must do with faith and purpose all that can be done each day, doing each separate thing in an efficient manner. I want to share just one thought here before we open up the mastermind discussion. As we are going through this and, you know, learning about making each act efficient and putting our best effort into each act that we do, I reflected on the last couple of years, you know, as I've kind of journeyed, you know, to some pretty amazing, you know, in my eyes, success in the home-based business industry. And as I was thinking about this, what, you know, what Wallace Waddles was teaching us, I was thinking about the time that I have invested in people and prospecting and talking to people. And one of the things that came to my mind is one of the things, now obviously I've got lots of room for improvement as we all do, but one of the things that I think I did pretty well is when I would get on the phone with a prospect, I would really try to focus on that person, and I would try to ask questions and listen, and I would really try to find out what that person wanted. You know, how much money did they want to make? How are things going in their business? You know, what are they looking for? And I tried to help them the best that I could, to the point where when I would get on the phone with someone, if I could share with them a resource, a training, a tool that maybe wasn't even within my primary business, but I knew it might be something that they could use at that point in their journey, that would be my focus, to share that with them. And as we're looking at making each act efficient, if we are, for our business, talking to prospects, I challenge you to try to do that. Ask questions, listen, really trying to find out what that person wants, and see if you can't recommend something that will help that person get what they want. And I can almost guarantee that if you're not doing that right now, the results that you'll see in your life from doing that will be dramatic. As a matter of fact, I saw on Facebook just yesterday or the day before, someone shared a quote from Robert Kiyosaki. If you don't know who Robert Kiyosaki is, you need to know. He wrote Rich Dad Poor Dad, Cash Flow Quadrant, has done some things with Donald Trump, just an amazing educator in terms of helping people get a better financial IQ. And one of the things he said on this quote, or the thing he said on this quote, was something to the effect of, when you shift your focus to helping and serving people, I don't want you to take this the wrong way. We're not talking about going out and being completely altruistic and just serving and helping without any profit, without any financial gain. He's talking about in a business sense. When you shift your focus from just getting the dollar to actually looking for what people need, listening, trying to serve, you know, and help them satisfy those needs that they have, the quote was saying something to the effect of, you know, that's what you want to do. You know, you'll make more money if you do that. So in light of this, you know, chapter on efficient action, just want to share those thoughts. And I'm excited to hear your thoughts on our marvelous mastermind call. Star 6, come on out. I know we've talked about a lot today.
Good morning, Paul.
Hey, good morning, Melvin.
There is a lot of things you went over and covered today, but one of the things that came that stood out with me was the fact that if each of us just think of a few things, it's kind of like you were saying these sayings that your son and yourself seen and that were posted in that school. If there's a few things that if we think about to govern our lives by, we don't need a lot of them. I know there's one that I'll never forget. I'm sure everybody's heard of it, and that it is if you think you can, if you think you can, or if you think you can't, you're right. So it's a matter of just your thinking. If you understand that. Or there's another one, if it is to be, it is up to me to understand that, and therefore it sets you up to always be ready to take action. Just a few of those kinds of things that you govern your life by, and I know one of the things that you were saying this morning the thought came to mind is a successful life is basically just a lot of successful days, day after day. And so when we break it down that way and we realize that we can take a day, and if we take that day, each of us can do this moment, learn to live in the now. If we learn to live in the now, forget about what happened just a little while ago or what's going to happen tomorrow, but how to take the moment and the time we're in right now and make the most of it, you are going to generate successful days and therefore have yourself a very successful life. So when you break it down, it's really very simple. So find a few things that you can really buy into that mean a lot to you and learn to live by those. Back to you, Paul.
Great points as always, Melvin. Really appreciate those thoughts. Star 6 is next. Come on out. Yeah.
Hey, Paul, it's John.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, my brother, and good morning, thank you, Greg Rich family. Wow, what an amazing, amazing, wonderful, blessed morning today is. I'm outside in my front yard again, feeling the cold air. There's actually fog here, so I can't see any stars, but I know that they are there. So, first of all, let me just say, learn to live in the now. Wow, how powerful is that, guys and gals? I know that yesterday, and it's really funny that Melvin should have said those words. Yesterday, I had heard a training or I read a training. I believe I had heard it, where the gentleman was speaking about how a lot of people, what they end up doing is they live their life in their past. You have something of a regret that you didn't do, you didn't take action, or things didn't work out the way that you had planned them, and you keep revisiting that. As a matter of fact, what ends up happening is that you keep revisiting that, and you live your life in failure, or you worry about the future. You borrow trouble that has not yet, you know, manifested itself, rather than actually living in the present. Each and every one of us, we can plan for the future, and we obviously should plan for the future. But we must also understand that life happens now. Life happens what you do today. What is the easiest way to fix the next 10 years? Well, it's to get working on them today. That really is the bottom line. You know, that's Master Oogway and Kung Fu Panda. He had likened. He said that the present is a gift, and that is why it's called the present. So make sure that you are taking action every day, especially today. More than anything else, you take action today. And you use your journals, whether it be your business journal or your personal journal, to chronicle your life. Because a life worth writing down, worth remembering, worth referencing back is a life worth living. You know, Jim Rohn, he teaches that when you journal, if you are making deposits into your future, because you can look back on today and you understand what it is that you were feeling, what your thought patterns were, and then you can see what was the result of those thought patterns. So a year from now, when you look back on today, and yeah, you know what? I was on that call, and Melvin shared that wisdom, you know, live for today, live in the now, and then John said something, and then... Wow. And then white chocolate came on and just took it up to the next level. You know, that's powerful. That is very, very powerful. A couple things. The gentleman that you were referring to, Paul, his name is Jeb Corliss, J-E-B, Corliss, C-O-R-L-I-S-S. And the specific video that you are referring to is called Grinding the Crack. Grinding the Crack. It's a video that I view actually every day. It's a way to manifest incredible power if you use it correctly. As a matter of fact, part of the reading states, power is at your service, and to make each act efficient, you only have to put the power into it. If you take each and every act that you do and actually put your heart, your soul, your mind, your effort into it, it shows. And your intention, if you infuse that act, if you infuse that video, If you infuse that blog post, if you infuse that conversation with intention, if you know your intention before it happens, you will manifest the ability to create your reality. And that is the God's honest truth. Focus your intention and make it happen. Back to you, Paul.
Sorry about that, folks. It hit the wrong button. John, great thoughts, my friend. Love, love, love what you shared. Thank you so much for that. And Master Oogway, that full quote, in case anyone wants it, one of my favorite quotes that you shared, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. Love it. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Good morning, Paul. This is Steven.
Yeah, who's that?
This is Steven.
Hey, Steven, go ahead, sir.
I just wanted to say good morning to everybody, and hopefully everybody had a productive day yesterday, and hopefully we all have a productive day today. One of the things that kind of sparked a light bulb to go off in my head this morning was yesterday I was listening to a training, and this guy was talking about, you know, if he had to start from scratch and build his business over again, given his past failures, what would he do differently? And, you know, he went on to details and things of that nature. And one of the things that I found that kind of struck a chord in my eyes and in my heart was the fact that every time he failed or every time he had fallen, he got back up and he tried it again. He was persistent about making something work in his business. And, you know, I've been one of those people over the last 2 years that have jumped from opportunity to opportunity. You know, I started up my own business. I've jumped back into, you know, different opportunities and so on and so forth. And, you know, I haven't had that much success. And one of the common denominators that I finally found was the fact that it's me. It's my doing, it's my, or me not taking action in the appropriate way, in the appropriate form, in order to build that success that I'm seeking, that I desire, that I'm manifesting in my mind. And once you've come to grasp the fact that, you know, maybe it is your fault that you haven't had success, and you start thinking differently, so many doors open for you, so many opportunities open for you that it's just, it's incredible. And, you know, I'm starting to realize that, and I've started to realize that since I've been on these calls, and to be able to be in a group of people that, you know, are more successful than me, and to be able to take these nuggets from each call that I've been able to take is just, it's a blessing to me. And I can't say how much I appreciate every single person on this call, regardless of whether you come out and you've shared your story or not. You're a blessing to me, and I just want to say thank you to all of you. And, you know, again, I can't thank you guys enough. So back to you, Paul.
Steven, beautiful comments, my friend. Thank you very much for sharing that. And just as a side note to what you were saying, I joined 14 companies before I, you know, finally realized what you're sharing with us on the call and started to have some success. So it's a common pattern. And the good news is you're realizing, you know, what I realized, and you're making great changes, man. Keep up the good work. Just really appreciate that. Star 6, who's
there? Good morning, my friend. Paul, Mr. Hutchins, how are you?
Whoa, doing good, man. I had to hold the phone away from my ear for a second there. Good to hear you, Nick. Welcome.
Wonderful to hear your voice. Mr. Hutchins, it's an incredible subject of being effective. You know, today, being in the present, you know, I love to talk about the present, living for today. It is the day, the only day we have. You and I, and everyone on this call, are at the meeting place of two eternities, yesterday and tomorrow. Today, is the ultimate day. You know, there's a story. There's a story, a real-life story about a man by the name of Bill Osler, William Osler. In fact, Mr. Osler was a medical student at the Montreal General Hospital. He was starting to become a doctor. He was uncertain. He wasn't sure. He wasn't quite sure whether he could even pass the final examination. He said, well, his perception was, well, so what, when I pass it, could I build up a practice? Could I make a living? He was just a worried, sick young man until he came across 21 words I'd like to share with you that helped him to become the most famous physician of his lifetime. When he died, there were two volumes. And as Dale Carnegie put it, was 1,466 pages were required to tell the story of his life. He read 21 words from Thomas Carlyle, and it went like this. Our main business is not to see what lies dimly at a distance, but to do what lies clearly at hand. Friends, we all got the same amount of time each and every day. You talk about efficiency. Be careful of the energy leaks. Confessing the sins of other people, the lack that the other people are doing. And I ask you to look for the good in people. A lot of different thoughts may come to your mind, but speak what you want. Speak total positive, because you're going to get what you speak. Speak clearly in defining what you want. Somebody could say, you know, I want a new home. Friends, a new home could be a room in your parents' house. Be clear about what you're saying. Over and over, I have so many things to reflect back on. And to look at certain things that I've done and things that have come that I want and realize what the difference was by being clear of communicating to the universal intelligence via my subconscious what I really and truly want. That's why that communication had to take it seriously. The words you speak every day, make them count. In the Marine Corps, we used to have these three-round burst weapons. Machine gun came out. The M16 rifle, we had the A1, where it would just burst, just continuously. You put your finger on the trigger, and it would just keep going, 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 nonstop. And they came out with the A2 rifle and a three-round burst. In the Marine Corps, we like to say, make every round count. Friends, make all your words count. Right back to you, Mr. Hutchins, and have a day filled with opulence.
Rick, thank you, my friend. Sure appreciate you. Really appreciate those thoughts. Thank you. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Paul. It's Lindy.
Hey, Lindy, go ahead.
It's so amazing to me, you know, whenever I have a thought in my mind about something that we've read each day, and someone before me will speak of that, like Rick just did. Because I can remember when I first started getting on these calls back in February, the thought of what do you want? You have to have a clear picture of what you want. And I pondered that, and I still ponder that to more detail, because I don't know if it's a mother thing or if you fathers experience the same thing. But for me at least, I always thought about my child and then my granddaughter. I've raised her and my husband and, you know, other people around me. And that was my main focus my whole life. So it was hard for me to just block out everything and just think about, okay, what does Lindy want? And to get a clear picture of that, because that's not something that I've ever really thought about. I always wanted to make everybody else happy. So that is profound. And the other thing, and I think it was in Think and Grow Rich, is once you decide what you want, what are you willing to trade to have it? And, you know, there's times that I get discouraged, and I know that's hard for you guys to believe because I am a positive person and I am driven and I know I can do it. But there are times that we all have those doubts, and it's like we get weary and we you know, for me, I think about, well, if I stopped pursuing my dreams, what would I have? And the answer is I would live a hopeless existence. So that keeps me going. I'll take a break, rejuvenate, refresh, and just get back on track. But, you know, knowing what you want and then deciding what you're willing to trade for it, those two have to go together. And what you're going to trade for it is not daydreaming. It's hard work. But it's, I mean, is it worth working for? Is your dream worth working for? That's what we need to ask ourselves. That's what we need to have at the front forefront every single day. This is worth it for me, for my family, for society, you know, because we're all helping people. We're helping people realize they can have a dream too, because there's so many people out there right now that just have lost their dream. So anyway, that's what I have to share today. Thank you, everybody. Back to you, Paul.
Lindy, thank you so much for sharing your heart with us. And let me just say that you're right. We all do get discouraged from time to time. And I love, love, love what you shared about pointing out, you know, what is the alternative of giving up on your dream. And you quickly realize that that is not an option. Living a hopeless existence is not an option. So you always, we always, always, we keep the dream alive. We inspire hope in ourselves. We inspire hope in those around us. Always, 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 never, ever do we come to a point where we stop doing that. You pointed that out beautifully, Lindy. Thank you for that. Star 6 is next.
Good morning,
hey,
Paul.
Good morning, Paul.
Let's see, Mahara. Was that Mahara?
That is Mahara.
Go ahead, Mahara, and then we'll hear from the gentleman that was coming out with you there.
Good morning, wonderful people. I just wanted to share a couple of things about your dreams. And the first one is, if your dream does not inspire you to do things that are absolutely over the top, to endure pain, to push through your weaknesses and your fears, if your dream doesn't do that, you have to find a different dream. You have not found your heart. You haven't found your connection to the all that is. Because when you do, when you find something that feels right and that inspires you, there's literally nothing you wouldn't do to get there. And the second point I wanted to make is to learn about the word essence. You know, you may think, wow, my dream is to own 50 acres because I want to be a country boy or I want to enjoy nature. But what if you found a house that backed up to the national forest that was 25% of the price that perhaps was in your better interest overall? You would have the essence of that nature surrounding you without maybe the financial obligations. So be sure to get not down to a specific, but to the essence of those things that drive you and motivate you, and especially those things that your inner voice calls on you to do. You don't even know why. It just feels like you want to paint, or it feels like you want to sing, or it feels like you want to be outdoors. Those are the things that will truly drive you to your excellence and help you push through the resistance that we all face. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Back to you, Paul.
Thank you. Great, great words, Mahara. Thank you for that. Who is the gentleman coming out there with Mahara?
Hey, Paul. It's Dr. Mitchell.
Yeah, go ahead, Dr. Mitchell. Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Something I wanted to share in our type of medicine, naturopathic, holistic, one of the things we used to talk about a lot going through our courses was that, you know, remember, it's always a practice. We're practicing medicine, just like practicing life, practicing business. And one thing that I used to implement a lot with my patients was, you know, when we try a particular therapy, just like trying a particular profession or job or work, and it doesn't work out, I obviously used to tell my patients, it's not a failure. All we did was rule out what's not working for us. So we keep moving forward till we find what does. And eventually you do. So each step of the way was just another step in the right direction, and to not be caught up in the concepts of failure, because the only failure is not taking the next step forward. So with that, I thank everyone on this call, and I thank you, Paul, for all your enthusiasm. Back to you.
Thank you, Dr. Mitchell. Powerful words. Really appreciate that. Who's next? Star 6, come on out. Yeah, what if we could swap out the word failure with the term result? That might be a powerful thing for us to do.
Paul, this is Dan.
Hey, Dan. Good morning.
Thank you. Really touching that you were addressing the values of the services for your uncle, and very powerful that this gentleman had a purposeful mission at an early age. I just wanted to thank you for that. There's many times in my childhood when my Uncle Bob had passed away where my father made a decision that felt that we shouldn't go up to the funeral and that, because it was just so far away. And so now that I have grown older and I've had people pass in my life, I attend and make certain to go there. But to break out the notes, that is phenomenal. My mom passed away at 76. I had a friend that filmed that, and I've been trying to reach him so that I would be able to hear some of the great words that my brother shared, that, you know, through that emotional time is not always accessible in the memory unless you do take notes. So it's a very valuable aspect of the call that you did. And with that, I also did a few notes and going over some of the daily successes and the values of effectiveness versus efficiency. One of the things is the definition of effectiveness is basically getting the job done. And the definition of efficiency is the degree of goal achievement. And obviously, this call allows people to really increase that quality, which therefore correlates to that degree of goal achievement. And I find those very, very powerful. And so another really nice point that you mentioned was the time invested in prospecting and asking those questions and listening and really trying to truly help them get what they want. Those are so powerful and has really set the momentum for my day, and I appreciate it very much.
Dan, thank you. Really appreciate you. Thanks for being here, and you just shared some great things with us. Really appreciate that. Star 6, who's next? We have a few minutes left.
Hey, Paul, it's Lindy again.
Yeah.
There's
ahead,
one other
Lindy.
Thing that I wanted to, that I thought of. One thing that I have really learned is not to make decisions if you're too hungry, you're too angry, you're too lonely, or you're too tired. Those spell out halt. Do not make decisions, because those are the times we make decisions that we'll regret. So if you're ever in a place where you're just feeling frustrated and you're thinking of giving up, ask yourself, am I in a negative emotion? Because if I'm in a negative emotion, I need to put it aside, walk away for a while, then come back when I'm in a positive place and assess it how it really is. So anyway, that's what I wanted to add.
Great, great point. Thank you, Lindy. Appreciate that. And as we're talking here, I look in the Facebook group, and Dustin Walker actually shared that Robert Kiyosaki quote, and it says, change your focus from making money to serving more people. Serving more people makes the money come in. That's the quote from Robert Kiyosaki. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Hey, Paul. This is Lisa Curry.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to say this quick thing, this quick testimonial, really. One of the words you said was results, and one of the what was stated in the reading was talking about putting together the productive actions, each productive and efficient action, and I am just amazed by what has happened in my life. Literally during my major definite purpose, when I say it in the morning, I some of the things I say, and I want to tie this into the fact that you talked about incantations and I went and read up on that and watched Tony Robbins. And one of my main, after my major for purpose, and I talk about the incantations, and I talk about how I expect to receive checks in my mailbox, and I expect to receive things. Now, these are based on my actions, the actions that I take place every day. And for the past week, my husband has been amazed. We have received checks in I will open up and I will see checks in the mailbox. I've actually posted them on my Facebook page because it works. Those of you who are listening, it works. Just continue to put pieces together. It works. I have been doing this and listening to this call since, I think it's going to be about 60 days now. This works. I'm receiving checks in the mail, and I don't expect it to stop because I know that I'm putting together those different efficient actions, causing a result. My mind, I do my incantations. I meet with my clients. People say yes. It has been a great time, and I just look forward to better things and better things from each and every one of us. Paul, back to you.
Oh, wow. What's your name? I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name.
Lisa Curry. I've spoken a couple of times before.
Oh, Lisa, yeah, okay, great. Lisa, thank you so much. And as you were talking, I didn't mean to chuckle, but I was so happy listening to what you're saying. I can't help but smile and laugh out loud because it's beautiful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It reminded me of Marina's comment yesterday. I love it. I love hearing stories about how forming a picture of a check in your mind or of money or that major definite purpose, forming it in your mind, seeing it in your life. That's why we're here, folks. That's why we're here. We're here to do what Lisa's doing and experiencing. Thank you, thank you, thank you for that. We've got a few minutes left.
Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Good morning, sir. This is Neville. And how are you all today?
We're excellent, Neville. Great to hear you today.
Great, great. Like you, I went to a funeral last week in New York. And the young lady just said something that happened a while ago. I live here in Southwest Florida. And normally this time of year, for me to fly to New York and back would cost me a tremendous amount of money. And when I heard my buddy had died and died suddenly, I said, oh, my Lord, oh, well, this, where am I going to get about $800 or whatever it is to get to New York right now? I don't want to spend that much money. So I thought on it. I heard that son. And like you just said, I said, no, Lord, you know, I need to keep this money that I have and get more money in. I get a reasonable flight to New York. You know, I want to go. So I just left it there. And like I say, a really definite purpose. You say all the things that you need to say and you do your things. And that Tuesday morning, I heard the Sunday clarified. Tuesday, I looked on the internet and JetBlue had sent me an email showing me that I could go to New York and back right to the airport right next to our house for $178.77 round trip. Now that, my brother, is that what you say, that you put it out there and the ether, that unseen thing that we speak of all the time, took the information and brought back to me that which I was seeking. So it is there. It is there for all of us. Let me say a couple quick things before we leave here, then we take it from there, because sometimes I think this was some of my shortcoming. You see, every day is either a successful day or a day of failure, and it is the successful days which you get what you want. If every day is a failure, you can never get rich. While if every day is a success, you cannot fail to get rich. Do every day all that can be done that day. There is, however, a limitation or qualification of the above that you must take into account. You are not to overwork nor to rush blindly into your businesses in the effort to do the greatest possible number of things in the shortest possible time. And if you go on to talk about how to be, that's really my short fast. I've tried to do so many things, and like you're taking notes, and I've been writing so fast, that sometimes you go back, you can read what you wrote, instead of just taking your time and get what you can and make that be a part of your life. Get what you can at that time. Do what you can reasonable. Don't, it's like emails. I run through emails. I might go through and clean out 80 emails because I have to get back to the other ones. By the time I finish cleaning out those 80, I'll just jump in there, and I'm having trouble just read and do what I need to do with the others. So I've made up my mind one at a time, one at a time. Just do what I can right there and then. If I don't get to the other ones, so be it. But whatever I'm going to do from here on, I'm going to do it successfully. I'm going to write neat. I'm going to practice my writing so that I maintain what I write and be able to read it over and over again with clarity. And if my writing is clear and I can read it clearly, then clarity will come to my mind and what I'm looking for. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, everyone. Everybody was so awesome today. And I hope to be hearing you guys again tomorrow. Back to you, Paul.
Hey, Neville, loved what you shared. Thank you so much. Love you. Love everyone on the call. It's been a great call today, my friends. And I want to challenge you to take what we've learned today. Go out, take action, pay attention to the action you're taking, look for ways to make it more effective, and know that you have greatness within you. I have a question for you. Does God make junk? Challenge it. Go look at a sunrise this morning. Go look at the sunset tonight, and then realize that you are part of that stuff that is here as a result of infinite intelligence, divine creator, God, whatever your term is, and realize that we're a part of that beautiful stuff that has been created. We have power within us, folks. Go forth. Make it a great day. We'll see you tomorrow morning on the Stinking Garbage. Bye-bye.